On today's episode of the Direct Podcast, we talk about upcoming DC, Marvel, and Star Wars projects as well. We rank our favorite Teen Titans along with everything you need to know about the universes you love right here on the Direct Podcast.
Truth is, I am a Jedi.
I'm the Vengeance.
And I am Iron Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in, welcome on, and welcome to another episode of the Direct Podcast, Season 3, Episode 11, the Michael Pittman episode of the Direct Podcast. I am here, your host, Matt Rimke, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Frame Box Office Correspondent, Senior Editor at TheDirect.com. You know him, you love him, Mr. David Thompson. David, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Have I watched any college basketball this year? The answer is no. Am I signed up for multiple March Madness tournaments with money on the line? Yes. Yes, I am. So I've been trying to kind of research, watch maybe a couple of highlights, and in general, just, you know, hope for some of that Irish luck and hopefully will my way towards some kind of maybe third place victory in one of these tournaments.
Are you Irish or was that a St. Patrick's Day drop right there?
I'm mostly Italian. I have on my mom's side, I have a tiny bit of Irish, but that was mainly a St. Patty's Day reference.
Irish people hate Italians. That's just
I know.
Act of nature.
It's really funny. Yeah. Me and my brother's like ancestry.com results are pretty interesting.
Conflicting.
Yes.
Yeah. If, you know, a little selfless plug here, if you're looking to get caught up on March Madness and get to know the ins and outs of all the teams, the players to watch, you know, upsets, guarantees, all that stuff, head over to the Action Network YouTube page. Check out Big Bets on Campus, BBOC, our college show where we break down everything throughout the week. Become a better gambler. How was that? How was that promoting?
That was awesome, man.
I'm a company man.
Clip that. Yeah, that's great.
No, no, they have other people to do that stuff. I'm loving college basketball. I've been entranced in it for about a week and a half now. Unfortunately, IU is in the NIT, which is a bummer.
Right.
But Purdue lost, and that's always really fun. You know, as a bitter college sports fan, you know, if your team's not going to be in it, you at least hope your biggest rival is in a position to be let down in a very big. And Purdue is that for me. Man, I want them to get so excited and lose so miserably. He's great. They're so good at losing in the tournament. It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, there's always those teams that let you down, that let their whole fan base, school, alumni down every single year.
I mean, when it comes to the Big Ten, no one does it better than Purdue. I think that's just a fact at this point.
By the way, one thing, another side step on sports here for a second. Not football today. Football is dead to me at the current moment.
Damn.
It's sad. Even though it's the Michael Pittman episode, I was wearing my Pittman jersey last week. I was a week ahead. I was happy then. I'm not happy now. All that being said, baseball is about to start. And more importantly, I wrote an article over on thedirect.com about everything you need to know about MLB The Show 24. I pre-ordered it. I'm playing it tomorrow. And I cannot wait to get into a little road to glory mode. Start my guy off, little David Thompson, and hopefully just be a... I'm trying to think. Should I be a shortstop, center fielder? You can do the whole like pitcher and batter thing now, like you're Shuhei. So I'm very excited to play that game tomorrow.
I love that for you. The best part about the road of the show thing for the MLB is you can knock out a game in 11 minutes. It's on Rocket League schedule. You know what I mean? Where like you can fit one more in before your next thing pretty often.
Yes.
That got me in trouble in college a lot. Like on my way to class, I'd be walking out the door. And they'd be like, hey, quick Rocket League. And it's 6 minutes. Yeah. You think, oh, yeah, totally. Three Rocket Leagues later, now you're late.
Yeah.
You know, now you're not getting Chick-fil-A on the way into class.
Yeah. Same here. Rocket League, that's funny because I had the same experience. Rocket League, Smash Bros., and Mario Kart.
Anything with a less than 7 minute threshold, you think you can get one in really quickly.
Yeah.
It's number one.
Or like
it's number one.
With Kart, it's like, oh, class in 30 minutes. Can we do a Grand Prix?
We do a circuit real quick.
Yeah.
Can we run it? Probably is the answer.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I miss college for those reasons.
Oh, I miss college. The farther I get away from it, the more I miss college in many ways.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
You see, I put myself in a situation where like I graduated college and immediately moved away from everybody I knew.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I miss people more than I miss like college experiences.
Yeah.
But I have also not played euchre or a video game with someone else in years.
Right.
I'm talking years, man. It's been Mario Party with friends in Colorado. That's it. Mario Party, the best group game.
Doesn't count, but yes.
Why does that not count?
Well, the mini games count. That's true. The board game.
Mini games.
I know. Yeah, exactly. It counts. Never mind.
Sounds like somebody lost because he didn't get enough stars at the end. He didn't get the superlative stars, and he's really upset about it.
I've lost my grandma too many times in Mario Party. That's all I got to say.
Well, Grandma Tops will kick your ass. Hey, everybody, we got a fun episode today. Quick reminder, we're going to keep reminding you. April 8th, our X-Men rewatch begins. David, we record our first one next week. It's very exciting stuff. I'm very excited about it. I cannot wait to get I don't know. Should we rank them before and then after, or should we just organically re-rank them as we go?
I think we do like the in review thing.
In review style.
Them as we go. Shout yeah.
Out. Absolutely. I can't wait Shout to watch out. The ones that you've never seen.
Ugh, yes.
Amazing.
These older, X-Men 2000, it's been a while for sure since I've sat down and watched. I haven't seen X-Men since I got into the MCU initially. So I'm talking like 10 years ago. Over 10 years ago, probably, since I really sat down and was like, I'm going to watch this. Yeah.
I'm really excited. What are your thoughts on James Marsden now, so we can gauge it as we go?
James Marsden. Oh, as Cyclops?
Well, just as a person.
I love James Marsden, but as Cyclops, I don't know. They can do better, I think.
We'll see. I loved him in that show he did, but otherwise, he's been the most punchable person in Hollywood for a long
time. He's in the Sonic movies. It's like the one person. Yeah.
Wasn't he in Garfield too?
The new upcoming Garfield?
No. Or the old one that Bill Murray did. Wasn't he?
I don't David? Probably.
That is Dave. Who's Garfield's guy?
I don't remember those movies.
Movies. It's a comic strip. Whatever, kids.
No, upcoming, it's okay.
upcoming X-Men rewatch April 8th. Get ready for that. Next week, actually a really big episode. We'll be reviewing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I'm very excited to talk about. But also, it was announced today, the Acolyte trailer will be dropping tomorrow, time of recording. So next week, we will have a double review. We're going to react to the Acolyte trailer, and then we're going to break down Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Very fun episode. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
In preparation for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, both David and I have rewatched the original Ghostbusters movies from 82, 83, and 88.
It's 84 and 89, so just bump those up a year. Yeah.
84, 89. I wanted to ask you, David, your thoughts on the original two. Me personally, I've not seen them. I'm putting it very confident, like 2 decades since I've seen those movies. Since I was an actual child.
Yeah, I think the last time I remember watching Ghostbusters, I'd never seen the second one. I've never seen the new one that I'm in the middle of watching right now. Afterlife. Wait. Enjoying it so far. 45 minutes in, I'm like, this is the best one so far.
I'm so pumped to watch it.
Well, they're the best one so far. There's something we'll talk about it more. But the last time I remember seeing Ghostbusters, I was 8 or 9 years old in my grandpa's old house. It's like, you know those TVs that literally weighed like 5,000 pounds? Like they were so big. I love that TV. I used to go there after school, watch SpongeBob. My grandpa was the best thing ever. But he'd have Ghostbusters on sometimes. He loved it. I had VHS. That is the last time I remember watching Ghostbusters before rewatching it. And I really enjoyed it. It's a silly movie. The plot is so paper thin. It's unbelievable. But Bill Murray is a superstar in this role. It is just, he's so funny. He's so great. And just all the characters in it are just incredible. Like that movie is so not about ghosts and just about these goofy guys that are chasing ghosts, and just the characters, the charisma, the acting. That's what makes Ghostbusters something that's fun. But I didn't like the second one nearly as much. I thought they kind of stripped some of those things away from it.
For sure. Second one, I think, is one of the more primary examples of the second one's not as good kind of vibe.
Absolutely.
But also, make your money. But that first one, man, that's, you know, you, sometimes you watch those older movies. Like I recently rewatched Terminator for the first time, you know, in a long time. And like, you can just tell, like, this is where a lot of things came from. Like, this is a style of movie that is being invented in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to kind of learn, like, this was the first like blockbuster action comedy that, you know, kind of blew up the way it did, like matching these comedies with these big action set pieces that had really never been done to this scale as Ghostbusters in 84. And me and you both, you know, friends of the show, over at Kind of Funny, the Interview crew, we both watched that after the first movie. And Andy Cortez pointed out, and something I was thinking about the entire movie, wow, is this so the blueprint for superhero movies today? You know, the first Ghostbusters, the origin story of it all, getting the team together. You know, they discover what their quote unquote powers are. They have like one or two trial uses of the power. It doesn't really work out. They go back and figure it out.
The like ballroom scene.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's like a big like climax. And then the final boss battle, they have to, you know, do something they said they weren't going to do in order to make it happen. It's so superhero coded in that way, and it was made it such a fun thing to watch. I don't think it's the funniest movie ever. I don't think it's the scariest movie ever, but I think it's really funny and really scary, and also it just works. It's one of those ones that like it just kind of like for whatever reason it works. When Bill Murray is saying, when they go to cross the streams, and Bill Murray's like, no, you told me that's a bad idea, you know, you said that's not what we're supposed to do. They explain the magnitude of it. He goes, I love this idea. Happy to be a part of it.
You know?
Like his improv just works in the rest of the movie.
Oh, so good.
Anytime Dan Aykroyd's tasked to talk to a group of people, it's just the best thing ever.
Rick Moranis steals every scene he's in.
God,
I find him absolutely hysterical in that first movie. He kills me. Like he's my favorite part, probably. Him
this
or
is
Bill
Martin
Murray.
Donald. Donald works at a, you know, nice hedge firm, bringing in this much a year, and you know
when he's Martin's going through that.
Marge is working off this old loan that she got after this, that, the other. There, you got a nice house with it. This, dude,
oh, don't leave. You want to dance? Let's dance.
Okay. She goes, okay.
We start dancing.
So good, dude. It's really amazing, man. It's, you know, hey, maybe we'll come by. I'll try to stop by your party. Okay, I'll tell everybody you're coming.
I'm canning the door. Can't open the door.
So good.
And then when he's possessed, it's like a slightly different character, but it's still like pathetic. It's awesome.
There's no Donna, only Zool. But man, watching that first one just reminded me of how goddamn good it is, and I can't
horny too. Very horny movie.
Well, it's the 80s.
Yeah, hornier than the second one though. They dropped a lot of the horniness in the second one.
It's for sure. They replaced it with a baby.
God,
they replaced
that was...
it with that fucking baby, man. The baby was kind of awesome. The baby was awesome.
Best part of the second movie was their alternate uniforms.
Oh, what? No, awesome. Come on. Oh, I thought you said worst part.
Best part.
Best part. Yeah, dude. Sell them toys. And they even have the line, like, proton packs are not toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the two in the side. Yeah, that seemed very meta. That seemed very meta. That was actually really funny.
They're the reason we're making this movie.
Yeah.
This is what's happening.
They totally leaned into, like, the commercialized. Like, it was more kids' movie. It was more, obviously, like, some of, like the villain and, like, you know, you got like Scott Slimer again, more of the ghost. It's fine. But this new one, have you watched the new one yet?
I'm so excited because the first one, like you said, like it's not like a deep, substantial movie. It's just fun. Like its best quality is being entertaining, but it also has a lot of like lore stuff just kind of written in it. I can't wait for a modern take on it to do what I do best, take the lore and extrapolate it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very modern. I like it a lot. I like I like how they are working the story so far. Like I said, I haven't finished it. I'm seeing the new one, the brand new one tomorrow. So I want to make sure I get it done. But yeah, no, I'm excited. It's a pretty fun universe. And based on just what I've watched so far, this new one and what I've heard from other people say, I think Frozen Empire could be pretty good.
Yeah. And next week we'll review Frozen Empire, but also just talk about Afterlife and, you know, this second run of Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Movie. These legacy sequels of Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The canon ones, of course.
I'm never watching that 2016 one.
I haven't either, but I really do love every single one of those actresses.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, maybe it isn't that bad. I know
some movies just suck. Some movies, we don't need to defend every movie. Some movies are bad.
it just seems like, I mean, for the purposes of this podcast, I don't need to watch it, so I'm not going to. Yep. And I just don't see why I, if because they've continued on with canon stories, why would I even now go back?
Like a damn it.
Oh, incredible music. I love how they lean into it. Like they actually play it. It's awesome.
Second one, they just ditch it. Sucks.
Yeah, no, the music's all.
They change everything.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Anyway, that's Ghostbusters Talk. Make sure to check out the Direct Extras YouTube page. We have interviews from Invincible. We have interviews from that new Mark Wahlberg dog movie. And we have podcast clips going up every single week. Make sure to check that out, the Direct Extras YouTube page. But right now, let's get into it. Everything you need to know about the universes you love.
That's slander.
It is not. I resent that. Slander is spoken. In print, it's libel.
All right, everybody. Everything you need to know about the universes you love. David, if I may, I'm going to do something I don't usually do on this podcast. A little quick movies or sports. For whatever reason, it really feels like the news cycle for our podcast, the blockbuster movie news that we've gotten over the last couple weeks, is really similar to the news cycle of sports right now. You know what I mean? You know, players and coaches are moving. Actors and directors are getting assigned to new projects. We got spring training coming up for baseball, happening for baseball, and opening day coming up. We got filmings happening, behind the scenes photos, looks at different people and things like that. The draft is coming. So new faces are being attached to new things. And that's happening in movies as well. And I just think that's really cool. You know, the movies are sports of it all. It really does feel like the news lines up in a similar feeling, as it were. And it starts, you know, with that thing that you feel when your team signs a new player, drafts a new player, wins a big game. You know, you feel like something that you own did well. David Thompson, Teen Titans are back.
Yeah, dude.
Teen Titans are back at DC Studios, and we will be getting a film in development for James Gunn's new DCU. It's being written by the Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Woman of Tomorrow writer. Her name is, you sent it to me in everything. Oh, Anna Nagira.
Yeah.
And she will be writing Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow and this new Teen Titans movie. So similar writers coming in for the similar universe. Very MCU Alvin Silvestri forward. David, this is out of my element, if I'm being completely honest. I miss this cartoon. I haven't read the comics. Tell me about Teen Titans and why you and your squad are so excited.
Yeah, I mean, for specifically like a group of my friends, people just, I suppose, my age. Like we talk about X-Men 97 coming back and that X-Men series and how awesome that's going to be. You know, I missed that when it was actually releasing. Teen Titans, the original Teen Titans on Cartoon Network. I think it was the original. It was before Teen Titans Go. I don't like Teen Titans Go. I think I out aged it by then. I was kind of over Teen Titans and I just hated the new animated style. It felt very much more kiddie, whereas the original Teen Titans from 03 to I believe 06, it's 5 seasons. It's awesome, man. Like I watch this all the time. It's just, it's the dynamics. The dynamics of Teen Titans is so great. And there have been live action iterations. Like we just got Titans on HBO Max and Max. And I didn't love it. It's a little, that was not Teen Titans. It was a little bit older. And I just didn't, by that point, I've kind of put in the rear view mirror, like CW, WB, DC series at this point. Like I've kind of haven't been watching like Superman and Lois or The Flash. I know just ended, stuff like that. So I've been out on that, but just simply on this, so much potential, really cool how this is going to be the same writer. And she's an actress. She's been in stuff, but now I think she's focusing on writing. Wrote Supergirl. Everyone's raving about that script, it seems like, internally. Now they have her writing Teen Titans. I love how James Gunn seems to be building out this universe from within. And it's really cool to see her get a chance to write another script. And Teen Titans, I think, has so much potential within the DC universe. And I think with people like me, younger than me, Teen Titans is a very popular IP, like much popular than Young Avengers, I would say. Whereas like it seems like Marvel's like working towards something maybe like that. I think Teen Titans could be much more successful if they nail the group. You know, later today doing the ranking, that's going to be the big thing. Who is the team? Because if you look, if you like Google, you know, members of Teen Titans, you will get like 150 results because of all the comics. We've gotten comics since I think the 1950s or 1960s. It's a Batman spinoff, to be, you know, to keep it simple. And it's supposed to be like kind of the kid version or like the sidekick version of all these other heroes. And that's not always the case. Like, one for one, like, you know, Batman and Robin, Kid Flash, stuff like that. Cyborg's a big one. Booyah. That's just iconic growing up. But yeah, I'm very excited, and it seems like a very cool, very interesting DC Studios project to be coming.
Yeah, it's really cool just to see them leaning into kind of what we talk about with Marvel a lot, is how, you know, X-Men and Spider-Man weren't in the MCU because they were so popular that other studios had bought them. So yeah. Like, it's really cool leaning into kind of that idea of it from the late 90s, early 2000s. Right. Like I said, I'm out of my element with this. You know what I mean? I just don't know enough about the Teen Titans to have an opinion on it, especially when it's such a beloved IP for so many people because of the cartoon, because of Teen Titans Go, because of, you know, all the series and all that stuff. It's a blind spot for me. So I'm not going to like come in with like hard opinions on it. What I'm going to do, David, is I'm going to listen to you, Klein, and Russ later in this episode rank your favorite Teen Titans, and that's how I'm going to learn. That's how I'm going to get involved in the Teen Titans movement, because I support the DCU and I support James Gunn. So that's really exciting DC news. You know, we have that, but our second story, not as exciting DC news. A lot of people may have already heard. It's been a few days now. I kind of forgot about it until just now. The Batman Part 2, Matt Reeves, Robert Pattinson, etc., has been delayed an entire year to October 2nd, 2026, my sister's birthday. Nice. It is cited as the writers and actors strike as the reason for the delay, but here's my 2 cents on it. If you need 2 cents, I got them for you, and here they are. I understand the writers and actors strike delaying something. I understand wanting this movie to have a Halloween theme with the October release date. I get it. The first movie was in Halloween. Second movie, I think they want to have a Halloween vibe as well.
Right.
Delaying something an entire year is not nothing. And it really feels like any movie, no matter how close it is, you turn the calendar, the movie's supposed to come out. Great. You turn 6 months later, you know, we're 6 months away, the movie's going to come out. Great. No, no, no. I don't think any movie is safe for a release date until we get a trailer or poster with a date on it. Not a month, not a coming soon,
right?
Not a year, a hard date. And even then, it's not safe.
Even then, yeah.
I'm having trouble like buying into excitement for upcoming movies and shows that don't have a hard date on it, because something as big as The Batman Part 2 can be delayed an entire year almost out of nowhere. And it will be, what, 5 years between Batman movies at that point?
It'll be over 4, so it'll be nearly 5.
Nearly 5 years.
2022.
Between Batman movies. That's a long time. I know it's really fun. I feel like we're beating our head against the wall over and over when we say, they're taking their time. They're making it perfect. They're taking their time. They're making it perfect. 5 years is a long time between movies, and the Batman Part 2 being delayed a whole year really sucks. It puts a downer on 2025 for me, just because I don't know what's next to be delayed. And I feel like I'm missing something. How are movies able to be delayed so frequently and so long all the time?
Yeah, it seems like when they was initially announced, this is a year ago, it was announced over a year ago with the date, by the way, it was announced. They had Matt Reeves, you know, in tow, Pattinson. They had plans, not a script fully written yet, but all that, like, this is, I mean, that's the thing. It's interesting. Like, he's assembling this new DC universe, and then we have Joker and the Batman. The difference is, like, with the Batman, they already have their roster set up where which is a bunch of like returning players. Like, imagine like a, you know, like a college football team or a college basketball team where like they have a bunch of returners. So it should go well. It should be seniors, smooth, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, just go do it. But what happened, it seems like, was the writer's strike happened. The script is not finished, apparently. The script is not finished for the Batman Part 2, which I think is pretty surprising. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know the insides of writing a script, but it's like, really? We don't have a script ready? Like, what is going on here? With all that being said, the also, you know, added part to this report, apparently, was that because of all the strikes, now all these studios are booking up like sound stages and stuff, and that's a problem. But I 100% agree with you. I think a lot of people anticipated another similar delay, like what happened with the Batman Part 1, to say like March 2026, going all the way to October 2026, to me feels like, okay, let's take a step back. We're going to really plan, and we're not going to start filming this thing for a while now. You know, I mean, it's going to be a while till they begin filming. It just stinks. It is what it is. You know, I think the movie will be good, but I'm with you where it's like, wow, this is, I mean, I'm going just like personally, I will be 28 when this comes out. You know, I'm 25 right now. That just seems weird to me. It's like, wow, this movie's like forever away now. It is so far in the distance. At least we have Penguin this year, but this movie is just eons away.
DC fandom has lived and died at the time between these movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten two DC fandoms, and we will never get one again between these movies coming out.
Dude, and Batman Part 1 took forever, too. Like, it got delayed. That was COVID.
COVID, like, yeah. But I feel like, not to get like fucking political or whatever, but like, remember when COVID happened and tipping became a very important thing that you had to do to support the people who aren't getting as much business as their livelihood depends on? And we all chip, you know, the good people in the world, they chip in, tip more, this, that, the other. But now every coffee shop you go to, they're spinning an iPad around in your face.
Right.
For turning around and getting you coffee.
Yeah.
I feel like studios may have gotten comfortable with delays during COVID. And now it's like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Right.
People will wait. You know, that's a bummer to me.
We will wait, but it just sucks.
It just, for me, I will not tip over into excitement for a upcoming project. After it's announced, I'm not going to like dive into the train until we have a date on a poster or a date on a trailer at this point.
Yeah.
Like I was pumped for Batman next year. Now it's so far away, man. And it's just,
and people even said with those strikes that what they agreed to, I think it's only a few, it's like there's only a few years until that could be back up for debate. Like, well, there's another strike. You never know, man.
It's a fickle, fickle world we live in.
It truly is.
That's two stories. We're moving right along here. Third story, and it's getting that time. See, this is a different cycle of the news thing. I'm not I'm excited for Superman. Don't get me wrong, but we're still filming. You know,
we're ways away.
We're still in the production level. So like the train hasn't started rolling yet. Right. But this is also the time where behind the scenes stuff starts coming out. And this is a movie where I don't want to see behind the scenes stuff, especially of the big things. The suit reveal should be a suit reveal, not a behind the scenes. Like Andrew Luck should announce his retirement, not a tweet from Adam Schefter in the middle of a preseason game. You know what I'm saying?
Relatable.
You understand that comparison there?
I do. I do understand that. Unfortunately.
Just got hit by a car in Seattle. Thanks, Adam. I've met Adam Schefter. Very nice guy.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, he's good people. The Engineer, an upcoming villain in the Superman movie. The suit has been leaked, and it looks a lot like what we talked about when the Superman logo came out. It's black, textured leather, CGI dots all over it, so we're going to see some CGI enhancements in there.
Yeah.
David, you put this in the rundown here. Are you excited about this suit? What are your thoughts and feelings?
Well, my first thought, my first feeling is exactly what you said. Please, God, let us not see the Superman suit like this. Like the Engineer, cool. This is going to be a character in the story, going to set up the Authority, seemingly going to have a pretty big role. Like that's the one big thing I have from this. Looks cool. You know, the actress, many people don't know, haven't seen her in anything, which is a lot of the Superman cast, which I think is actually really, really cool and a testament to James Gunn, his casting ability, possibly, if it works out. And also it's like, the script's really good. I'm a great director. Just play your role, right?
Guardians.
Yeah, like exactly. Like Guardians and what that became for all these people. And she seems to be a very big piece of it. Either a villain, hero, anti-hero, somewhere in between. The Authority, obviously. People talk about like The Boys, where it's not like the evil superheroes, but those like Billy Butcher, where it's like, you know, they get the job done one way or another. So I'm excited to see what she's gonna bring to the table. Now the whole debate is this going to be CGI? If you look at her appearance from the comics, it is like Terminator look, you know, like fully chromed out. I think it will be in between there. It looks like her face, you know, will not be, but I think there will be like additives to her suit. That one shot with her putting her fists out, you think there's going to be like guns at the end, essentially. There's that one clip. So in general, yeah, I don't want to see too much from Superman. This was in Atlanta, nearby. And I think now that they're filming there, they should be on the lookout. And I really hope if it gets to the point where they get word a leak is that someone got a photo of David Corn-Sweat in the suit, I hope we get the suit reveal before then.
Just make sure that you're reading the text of an alert before you look at any images at this point in time. It's a No Way Home protocol situation.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Look out.
Did you see, I've been getting into it with Snyder people again on Twitter. It's just something we enjoy doing sometimes. It's whatever. They're a special group. You know what I mean? The commitment is, you know, very much revered over on this side. But did you see someone tweeted like, you know, I was going to support James Gunn's DC universe, but looking at all the CGI here, I just can't get behind it. It's a disgrace of what they've done to DC.
Crazy.
Homie, this is a character with guns coming out of her arms. This is a character that grows machinery.
Yeah.
There's going to be some CGI on her suit. What a dumb thing to say. What a very limiting thing to say in the year of our Lord Taylor Swift 2024.
I'm curious if it's going to look like Cyborg, or more like almost like Iron Man, like, or like the nanotech. I'm curious how it's going to look.
I'm imagining, knowing the engineer, you know, somewhat, I've read comics with the engineer in it before.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to be like a full-blown robot or anything.
No.
But I think it's going to be a combination of like Iron Man with the nano suit, how it comes out of his arm like that. And do you remember Idris Elba's character in Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
The way his gun kind of grew.
Yeah, yeah.
Out. The way Rocket's gun kind of grows out when he does.
I thought about like Nebula.
Nebula, the way that her arm. Yeah, I think it's going to be a mix between Nebula and Tony and that like building on itself gun that we get from Rocket.
That gun is so cool.
Idris Elba, both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle there, I think, is where we're going to head.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. I like that a lot.
Absolutely. It's becoming a trademark to some extent, which is kind of cool. That is your blue brand news. We move over to the red brand and we move over to something hot, something spicy, something speedy. Ladies and gentlemen, a Nova show is in the works. Marvel Studios executive Brad Winterbaum, who is, if Brad speaks, we listen, because he more than anything knows not what not to say. You know what I mean? He's not going to say anything that he doesn't want to be written about. You know what I mean? Right. So this is, you know, this is as reliable of a source as it can get, other than Kevin Feige. Honestly, Winterbaum's the guy here. And he says in a quote, "We are really early in development on Nova. You got to conjure these things to make them happen, but I would love to see a Nova show one day." So it's in the works. The wheels are turning. The ball is in motion. David Thompson, Nova, is one of those characters that general public doesn't know, but Marvel fans, he's like a cult following hero for Marvel fans, comic readers, that is. What are your thoughts on a Nova show versus a Nova movie? And also, do you have any early thoughts on what a Nova could look like in the MCU?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a long rumored project, a series that many people have thought is going to happen, should happen. NovaCorps been fully set up in the MCU through Guardians, like a character that could have easily already appeared in the MCU that just hasn't yet. Ryan Gosling seems to be the big rumor for who this could be. And while that seems very eye-popping, you know, kind of just, oh, maybe Ryan Gosling's going to do Marvel. Oh, wait, now Nova's happening. Maybe that could be it. I don't think you put Ryan Gosling in a show. I think you put Ryan Gosling in a movie. So I'd maybe pump the brakes on that. But why not make it a movie? You know, I think in general, I'm not sure about a Nova show because it's a show. I think I'd be maybe a little bit more excited if it was a movie personally. I just don't know. We definitely need, like, it's great getting this confirmation that they're in early development. We definitely need at some point here is the direction going forward. You know, like, when is this going to happen? Is this going to happen sometime for these Avengers movies? Where really are we? What direction are we heading with TV? We don't really know much with the TV brand right now. So while I am excited on the surface for something Nova, I just want more clarity as to what this could be, why it's here, and what more the direction is on Disney Plus for the MCU over the next 2 to 3 years.
I agree. And I was thinking about that too. Like, you know, how can they Secret Invasion seemed like such a layup, and it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Drop bag, even though it seemed like such a win. So how can they bounce back in a big way? Echo, I think, was a good start. I think
it's a good show.
I think What If was really fun. X-Men 97. But, you know, yeah. We know what that is. That's not that prestige television that they're looking for. That's not an HBO series, an Apple series, which I just finished Shrinking, by the way.
Watching Blackbird right now on Apple. Really good.
Aaron Edgerton.
Yes.
Paul Walter Hauser. Love PWH. He's a man. You ever seen Cruella?
Yes.
Ah, the angle.
That's who he's from. That's where he's from. I was thinking.
He's Ray also, is also bomb in Blackbird. Centennial Pork.
Okay.
Oklahoma bombing show. Anyway, so like, how does Disney reach that level? And I do feel, you know, back to movies or sports real quick, getting a huge name to sign on for a Disney Plus series, I think would be a big move for Disney Plus right now. Obviously, we got Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight. That was a big deal. And it stirred up a lot of excitement at the time. I don't think they did a great job marketing that. I think that was a little bit of a miss. But Oscar Isaac could, you know, he's an A-list guy, but he's not an A-plus guy.
Good point.
He's not Harrison Ford.
Ben Affleck.
No, Jesus. Ben from Parks and Rec. Adam Scott. Damn it.
Oh, Adam Scott. Yeah.
I kept wanting to say Ben Friends. Scott. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, yeah. It makes.
Adam Webb. Uncle Ben.
Oh, dear.
You know, those are guys who opened up big shows for Apple TV and really like kind of made Apple TV a prevalent thing. Amy Adams does a different series every fucking year, it feels like.
Yeah.
Getting Ryan Gosling as like their first current A-plus guy to do a Disney Plus show, that could be huge.
You know what I mean?
Like,
that's a good point.
He could be the face of Marvel on Disney Plus in a way. Mm. Right?
Right, right.
So that, but also I just have this dream, and I've had this dream ever since they announced Nova originally, and it was the opening scene being Richard Rider returning to Xandar right after Thanos had blown everything to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. The Hawkeye 2012 scene.
But are we getting too far from that now?
No.
You don't think so?
Never.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's never not going to be awesome. Are you kidding me?
I think you can't. We got to move past that section, though. We you know what I mean?
No, but like you said, Novacore and Xandar have been very well established in the MCU already.
Yeah.
And that was their thing. They already destroyed Xandar. So like it has to go there at some point. You know what I know. I mean?
Yeah,
you're right. If it was a new thing, that'd be one deal. But
that's why it's surprising that we haven't gotten Nova yet, in a way.
Sure.
And I think that's the interesting part with navigating it, because someone like me, it's like, I love that idea if it was a few years ago, but now it kind of feels like, are we really going to keep... Then I think it starts to feel a little bit like they're over-relying on Thanos and the Infinity Saga, in a way.
But like,
get people interested.
The implication that you would not jump out of your seat if we got to see Thanos get the one Infinity Stone we never got to see him get.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Come on.
Okay, yes.
Remember when Superman walked out of the shadows and it was Henry Cavill? Remember how excited you were? That movie sucked.
And it was awesome.
But it was awesome, right?
I was excited, kind of, even though it was completely spoiled before the movie. So that was part of it, too.
He looked great, though.
He always looks great.
He looks so good.
He looks great in that new movie coming out. He's in. I'm excited for that.
I'm very excited about that too. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Love Guy Ritchie. Shout out Alan Richardson. Just blowing the fuck up.
Yeah.
Guys, everything.
I know. He was even in that like little Christian movie that just came out. My mom watched it. She loved it.
Love to see it. You know what I don't love to see? Actually, you know what I do love to see? The new title for Venom 3, The Last Dance.
Terrible.
This is it. No. It's great. It's finality.
Did you see someone, their tweet that was like, they put in ChatGPT, like come up with a Venom 3 title. And like, that was the first thing that popped up.
Love it. That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's pushed October 25th. Push up to October 25th. Yeah. Venom crushes the Halloween vibe.
I think it's going to make a lot of money. Yeah.
I don't like those movies, but I respect those movies more than I do the other Sony ones.
They have Tom Hardy. I feel like they have like more of a vision of what they actually are, like, especially the first one. Second one, they just kind of flew together. It feels very like
awful
COVID era. Let's just kind of make a movie and CGI it up and have basically It's so short too, which I had fun with it. I saw a bunch of people. Yeah. I think this movie will probably be an improvement on that, but yeah, I think definitely kills that Halloween vibe.
Yeah. No, The Last Dance is a very funny title.
It's hilarious.
I love that they're I love that they're giving them titles too. Like they deserve that. They don't.
Right. I think Venom 2 and Venom 3 would have played well. I mean, Let There Be Carnage is like, see, that makes a lot more sense.
Way cooler than the movie.
Exactly. Like, that's actually a really cool title. The Last Dance is like, the hell does that mean? It's the last one. Okay, got it. But like, who's in it? What's it about?
What does any of it mean? And who cares? The best actors are in these movies and they all suck it. They're all terrible.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy's good. Everybody else is. Michelle Williams is unwatchable in that second Venom movie. She's in that. I've never been a big fan. You know what I am a big fan of, David? Transition. God. We're so back. We're so freaking back with Patty Jenkins returning back to work on Rogue Squadron. Can you believe it? Can you believe that Rogue Squadron is back and the greatest teaser video we've ever seen is now relevant again? Let's go.
I literally don't believe it. I do not believe this is going to happen. I'm gonna say in this podcast, I still do not think Rogue Squadron is going to get made. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I love that. I think that this is a great bounce. If it does happen, I think it's a great bounce back for Patty Jenkins, just because I did like the first Wonder Woman a lot. I think that while WW84 is tough, I do think she deserves another run at a blockbuster thing. And also, this is like my dream Star Wars project. You know what I mean? This is the Top Gun Star Wars I've been dying for a long
time. Yeah, and maybe that's a factor into it. I think, Patty Jenkins said this, it's going to be really hard to believe any of it. I mean, we are now in a situation where it was, like you said, amazing trailer, fully announced, then canceled, then it's going to come back. We don't even have any movies yet. Nothing's in theaters for Star Wars right now. They really need a plan for Star Wars in movie theaters very, very soon. We need something concrete because it's getting very messy and it's meddling with our heartstrings,
Yet, if you were to rank the universes you love, I think Star Wars is on top right now. I mean, given the last 2-3 years of product, I think Star Wars has been more consistently good than Marvel or DC.
That's true. I mean, I think in general it's in a dip. If you just take all three, we see that just like with fandom right now. But I Andor helps a lot. Andor is such an excellent show.
Yeah, it really is. And I like Ahsoka. I noticed I skipped a story here. Back to Brad Winterbaum real quick. Mm-hmm. He also announced that Ironheart and Wonder Man, two Disney Plus projects, back to kind of the Disney Plus of it all. Those are both reportedly still happening. This comes amidst a report recently that Marvel Studios is going to be taking less risk moving forward and start focusing on more guaranteed project sequels and characters that have established fandoms right now in the current MCU. And people got really upset about this, David. People got really mad that they were going to start taking less risk because that means that they're never going to touch any character that hasn't been on screen before. They're just going to bring back Tony Stark. That's all they're going to do. That's what people were saying. And then just a few days later, it's announced that Ironheart and Wonder Man are still happening. Oh, by the way, we're doing Nova. Like, those are three big swings all in a row. And it's really interesting to me that people took the less risk as like they're never going to touch new properties again. Maybe risk is less about the character that they're focusing on and more about the quality of the product. I don't know.
I think they thought, honestly, I feel like they got to a point post Endgame where they thought anything would work in a way, right? Where like we've seen so many projects that are characters that aren't that popular, aren't that known, that works, given good talent, you think good writers, sometimes it's not very well written, that almost weren't seen as risks, but they all, I think retrospectively, now we can say Eternals, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, Moon Knight for sure, and several others, those were risks, and now I think they're kind of like, okay, let's be a little more methodical about it. Let's make sure we have the talent in place that we want, and let's make sure that we're not pumping out too much, right? Because not enough people, I think, could really keep up with the MCU, which then turned them off from the MCU.
And it became more about keeping up than it was the piece by piece project. And that was all supported by Winterbaum having another quote that said, post Endgame, there was a mandate to create as much as we could for Disney Plus as quickly as we could. We talked about this a lot, how they're starting this new thing, branching off of the most successful movie universe of all time onto TV.
Yeah,
I understand that there was, you know, initiative to get as much as you can, establish this, right? And man, were they off to a hot start. WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki, just banger, banger, banger.
Yeah.
Looking we were back, all bought in.
Like, wow. Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I think it held on for a long time. But the idea that they were mandated, that's the word that he used, to get as much out as possible, I think just supports the taking less risk. It's not that we're going to try. It's not that we're going to take. I hate that we're saying we. It's not that Marvel Studios is going to stop taking big swings. They're going to take less big swings. That's fine. That's okay. That's how we got here, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
yeah.
So I found that really interesting how all that news dropped and the timing of it all, even though I messed it up here on our rundown.
Okay.
Really, really quick before we get out of news here, ScarJo was reportedly offered the lead in Garrett Edwards' new Jurassic World. Your thoughts on that big of a name leading Jurassic World? Do you think ScarJo could save the Jurassic franchise?
I do think taking swings like this is what they need to do, and what they should do is try to land a person like ScarJo. I think would be great. I think, you know, having like a strong female lead and whatever this new, I hope it's not even called Jurassic World, by the way. I hope it's called like Jurassic something else. Give me universe or whatever.
Happy World. We need a third.
Yeah, we exactly. Jurassic. Let's think of it. Let's go to Universal and tell them what we think. Jurassic. Just Jurassic. It could be. It could be just Jurassic : the next chapter, The Last Dance. I don't know.
What if it's a Planet of the Apes situation?
Kingdom of the Jurassic.
Oh no! I was gonna say Jurassic Planet, but I realized Jurassic World and Jurassic Planet are the same.
Jurassic.
I was thinking it's not a confined area. It's we've been taken over by. It's a caveman movie. It's a caveman.
It could. It could be a space adventure. Jurassic Mars.
No way. That'd be funny.
I don't.
I would enjoy that. And the last thing,
it's like Kong and Godzilla go into the Earth.
A crossover.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'd watch that shit.
Well, hell, Transformers doing it.
Yeah.
Remember Transformers Rise of the Beast?
Didn't watch it. I don't remember.
You didn't?
I was in Mexico. You watched it with Richard.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It was very fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Last thing I wanted to mention, the Fall Guy, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Big action movie. Debuted at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. People are saying it is an ode to film lovers everywhere. I am so pumped to see this movie. I'm so pissed I'm going to be in Europe when it comes out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, me too. I mean, I was really surprised when these like initial reviews were coming out, but awesome to see. And wow, this could be, I mean, this is another huge Universal picture. Ryan Gosling is just the biggest name following I'm Just Ken at the Oscars, it feels like. What a move by him. What a move for them to bring those two out and banter back and forth at the Oscars. I mean, Universal's coming off of
news drop.
Universal is coming off of it was the studio of 2023, you know, dethroning Disney. And it holds that marquee MCU slot of May 2nd or 3rd. That first weekend of May is for the Fall Guy, when so many people are used to going out to a theater and watching some action movie. So yeah, the expectations are really, really high at this point for the Fall Guy. I think it could be a really big hit.
I'm really pumped. I've been excited about this movie since I saw the first trailer. I think Ryan Gosling's one of the funniest people we got going. To see him do the action comedy thing, come on.
Yeah. Come on. And Blunt do it, you know, something totally different than what we saw last year with Oppenheimer, you know, even like with her work in the Quiet Place. It seems totally different and fun.
I say this like, I don't think I saw Edge of Tomorrow. So I think that's my biggest blind spot, right? I did like her in Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. But I mean, she, you know, she played the assistant, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never really understood the hype, honestly, until I saw the Fall Guy trailer. Now I get it.
Now
right. I get it. Yeah, she's great. 91%. Monkey Man also debuted at 91%. Are blockbusters back? Are we back?
I hope so.
Everybody's saying the superhero genre is dying, which, you know, I can understand it's falling off. Blockbusters seem to be popping out at an 80s, 90s level right now.
Yeah, and really cool. The Monkey Man, you know, Jordan Peele basically saved the movie from streaming. Now it's opening in theaters, and I think it's opening actually really soon. It's like an April 5th release date. So really, really soon. And I think it could be, you know, definitely a relative hit because of all the positive word of mouth and the fact that there is now you put the Jordan Poole name attached to it and the action looks awesome. And coming out of John Wick world, we have no ballerina this year anymore. I think it's gonna be pretty big, you know, or, you know, big for what it's definitely gonna make its money back. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, very cheap film to make. Not anything crazy. The Fall Guy was a much more expensive movie. You know, talking about these two, I think the Monkey Man could be definitely a relative hit.
I think that if Empire is good, Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, I think if that's good and it makes a good amount of money, obviously Godzilla versus Kong, it's going to be hit or miss. It's either going to make, you know, close to $1 billion or it's barely going to scratch four. But if Ghostbusters hits, Godzilla vs. Kong holds water, let's say, we could be on a nice little run of some blockbuster hits here and, you know, get that number up. You know, people going to the theaters, you'll love to see it.
Yeah, getting people amped for, I mean, we got a lot coming up. We got Godzilla, you know, we got Planet of the Apes at the end of May. And then the big one in June, Inside Out, you know, for the animated crowd out there. That looks really good, in my opinion, Inside Out Part 2. So, yeah, it could be a big summer. I mean, regardless of it being like a kind of a lesser than year, 2025 is going to have a way more movies out in general, a lot more big movies. 2024, you know, I think there's going to be, because of those holes, that's where a movie like Fall Guy gets to fit in and maybe become a big summer hit.
Don't forget Mad Max as well.
Mad Max, yeah, another big one coming.
We're all headed, and everything heads to Deadpool 3 at the end of July as we move into the back half of the season where we're going to get more Oscar forward movies in the back half.
And I'm not on my forefront, but I'm very excited for the second Joker movie because I love the first one, and getting to see that's going to be really, really fun.
I keep forgetting that's coming out this year, not next.
Yeah. Because it was supposed to be Joker, then the Batman Part 2 in the same kind of slot the following year.
Cannot wait to rewatch Joker. So pumped.
Yeah. Well, we should do a discussion on that because we have never talked about Joker on this podcast.
I've only seen it one time.
Yeah, exactly. I saw
theaters the weekend it came out. I haven't seen it again.
Yeah. Very I saw exciting. It a lot in theaters. I'm a madman.
Still, I'd put it in, this would be a fun list someday. It's a big list, but like top at least 10, at least 20, if not 10 comic book moments of all time is the Blood Smile.
Yeah.
That's about as cool as you can do Joker.
That movie, by the way, that like I was in college at the time and working and like just had people to talk to at work at the gym and stuff. Like, that was when I met Thomas. You know, I knew Thomas for a long time at that point, but like Thomas was involved in this. Like, such a water cooler movie, Joker Part 1. We were talking about that. Everyone was talking about it. You know, like that was the most in my entire life of a real like in-person water cooler moment was the first Joker movie. Because everyone wanted to see it, even if you didn't watch superhero movies. That was the whole thing.
Mine was Endgame for sure.
Yeah. I still feel more connected to the internet for those, I guess, because of the fandom. Yeah.
I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, that is everything you need to know about the universes you love. Long one, but I thought a good one. A lot of relevant stories. I'm excited that we got to talk about everything. Next week, we're going to review the Acolyte trailer.
Yes.
We're going to review Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We're also going to review the first two episodes of X-Men 97, something I completely forgot about until right now.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's right. It's about to come out.
2 days.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped. Wow.
Yeah. Next week's going to be
a big episode.
Yeah. Wow.
Big, huge. Love to see it. But yeah, right now, let's do a little ranking. It's something we do best on this podcast. David Klein and Russ, we're going to rank the Teen Titans.
Welcome in. I am joined by Russ Milheim and Klein Felt of TheDirect.com. Today, we are diving into a kind of ranking of Teen Titans. Reason being, apparently, Hollywood Reporter, DC Studios is developing a Teen Titans live action movie. First, we're going to discuss kind of what to expect from the movie, the ages, and when it could be set in the DC universe, all those interesting things. And then today, what we're going to be doing is diving into our top six rankings of who we'd like to see, which characters we'd like to see, not actors, which characters we'd like to see in a Teen Titans movie. I went on Wikipedia at one point during researching on just like the base Teen Titans wiki, there's like 150 characters you could choose from all the comics. Obviously, my touchstone with Teen Titans and why I'm passionate about it is the OG early 2000s Cartoon Network Teen Titans show. I grew up on that. I absolutely love that. Russ, Klein, thanks for joining me. Klein, quickly, what's your history past liking to the Teen Titans?
So my big introduction to just like superheroes as a whole was by way of these animated series growing up in the early 2000s. And so for me, it was the Justice League animated series, which I was super into and loved that. And that kind of introduced me to this whole portfolio of characters. And then I was introduced to Teen Titans, and I kind of had gotten right to that age where it was like, oh, like this is a little more fun. They have personality. They're, I don't want to say edgier, but sure, I'll use that word. As like a, I don't know, as a preteen boy, I'm sitting there going like, yeah, like I love how silly and goofy Beast Boy is. And like,
yes.
And so for me, it's those touchstones. And then as I started reading more and more comics and going back and more learning about like the history of this group, like Teen Titans to me was, I really like Batman and like the individual characters of the Justice League, but I've never really loved, I don't read a lot of like Justice League stories. I'm way more, if I'm picking a team on the DC side, like I do like the Teen Titans stuff just because I have always liked that like Peter Parker energy, that coming of age energy that you get with a lot of Teen Titans stories, especially modern Teen Titans stories. If you go back in time, they are a little bit older. They're in their, I don't know, mid to late 20s or whatever. But like for me, it ultimately, just like you, it does ultimately boil down to that that Cartoon Network show.
Yes.
In like 2003, 2004, whenever that was.
Yeah. It apparently, I didn't realize it was five seasons from 03 to 06, yeah, I believe.
There's a lot of it.
And my favorite part is just the dynamics, like the characters and their dynamics and all their different personalities. Russ, where are you at with Teen Titans? Are you a fan? Did you grow up watching it? How do you like the team?
So I like the team, but unlike, you know, you guys, I knew of the show and I had seen bits and pieces of it, but I was never like fully into it, mostly because when I was growing up, I know, shocking, I didn't have cable.
Really?
So I didn't, a lot of these like really popular, you know, animated shows, I didn't have a good access to, but I was aware of them and I enjoyed them through my brief interactions. Back when they were doing the Rebirth comics, I was reading the Titan storyline there for about a year or two. But I mean, I generally like all the members of the team. I've seen some of the live action show, which I know aren't the favorite adaptation for a lot of people, but
I tried to watch it. We mentioned that in the news section, me and Matt, how they were just, I mean, they kind of recently did this, you know, live action, that wasn't Teen Titans, but they got like a pretty big crew. I always wasn't in general.
It has its evangelists. Like, there are people who plant their flag in that show. There are people who are out there telling me, Klein, you got to give this a shot. I never have. I would much rather a show that I also didn't watch, but I'd much rather go and give Teen Titans Go a try than I would go and give the Titans the costumes. TV show.
I appreciate their costume work.
They do look pretty cool. They have a Superboy in it, I noticed. I didn't know that until I saw like a poster. people like the Dick Grayson Nightwing casting, apparently. I've heard that a lot about the Titans show. With that being said, that's a really good jumping off point, because the Titans is not Teen Titans, really. I know in that show, I believe Dick Grayson's 30, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it is a I think it was a Robin where he was a Robin for a long time, went away, and then I think came back as Nightwing, you know, kind of a typical story. So before we get into our rankings, and we'll obviously dive into some of, you know, the details when we get there, what do you guys see for this? Like, what is your ideal situation for the Teen Titans movie? Like, we have no details. There's a writer attached. But do you want this to be like, say, like Teen Titans Go, or like the cartoon we were referencing earlier where like they're all 15? Or do you want this to be a mix? Do you want them to be all young adults? You want to be Teen Titans where they're all 19? Russ, I'll start with you. What's your kind of ideal situation for this one?
I think when you name a movie Teen Titans, they kind of have to be in their teens. It's kind of like with, you know, the show, it's called Titans, right? They specifically took teen out of it, so they didn't have to worry about that. I think it will run into a weird circumstance with fans where some of its team members might, like, I don't think it will be a blatant, like, all of the classic members. And so in doing so, I think there'll be like some characters will be younger than maybe like some of those characters who would be older, maybe interacting with some of those new characters that are younger in like today's comics.
Yeah.
The ages won't necessarily match up with what people are used to. But I think that's just an inherent, you know, something that'll happen with adapting things such as comic books.
Right. What do you think, Klein?
I mean, my dream, if we're talking about what I like, what I want versus what I think we're going to get, my dream is we just get like, give me the teenage energy. Like, give me the I love that. I love that teenage bullshit of the people have the relationships between everyone and they all this like pent up energy that they don't know what to do with. I hope we get that. I could see that being very fun in a movie. I could see it like being, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is a different kind of team, but like a similar energy to that being like the DCU's like very fun property. They did that, I think we are ultimately going to get like a pretty wide berth of ages when we do get into this. I think we're going to have like a pseudo leader that is maybe on the older side. And then we're going to have like, it's going to run the gambit a bit. We're going to have people in their 16, 17, 18 years. And then we might even have like a little bit younger on the lower end as well. I hope that like, that's what I hope, that we're not just all at 15. Maybe we have people kind of across the spectrum, but I have no idea where this movie is going to go, because it is so, it's so hard to cast just like a group, like to have a movie being led by 5 17-year-olds, like,
yeah,
it's hard to strike gold that many times in a cast of young actors.
Yep. I know, I'm with you. And it's like the casting is going to be so huge. Before we start recording, just the idea of like, the one thought I had on all this, you know, I'm excited. I'm totally pumped. I'm really excited for Teen Titans to be a DC Studios project, but it's like, let's get updates on currently announced projects, less announcements of projects happening. But the thing is with Teen Titans, it wasn't that it was announced, but it has a writer. It has the Supergirl writer attached, and she's going to begin working on it. And everyone thinks that Woman of Tomorrow's script is great. So it gives me hope. We don't have a timeline yet. Could this be before or after The Brave and the Bold? That seems to be a very key question, considering we're kind of getting a Bat family in that movie. We're getting Damian Wayne. That might indicate what age Dick Grayson is or any other Robin. Without further ado, let's get into our rankings here. Russ, we'll throw back to you. Who's your number one choice? Who is the character of the Teen Titans you want to see most?
Well, it's more so the character I think that will 100%
will be in it.
There's no getting around it, because there's a movie called, you know, The Brave and the Bold that will have Damian Wayne in it. And so I think that he is pretty much a guaranteed member of this team. So I don't think it will be Dick Grayson.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they're going to handle it, whether they'll have had a legacy Teen Titan team before. Mm-hmm. Then have, you know, Damian come in and kind of lead this new iteration, or if they'll just start with Damian. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like the obvious choice coming out of that Batman movie. It's like you're building up this universe. You bring Damian over and you have this new franchise with an already leading character that the audiences know. So I think that's just an easy starting point.
Klein, did you have Damian on your list?
Damian was my number one. I had Robin as number one. And I think Damian, just like I'm with Rust here, it's the logical choice, because we have a Brave and the Bold movie on the calendar. Like, I would love to see, if we just had a Batman movie coming out and we didn't know that it was going to be this Bat family thing, like, I would love to see like a young Dick do this. I would love to, maybe he's really early in the Nightwing thing. Like, I would like to see him kind of come in and be the leader, but we're not getting that. We're getting Damian as a character, so you might as well bring him over. And I was thinking the same like line of thinking that Russ just said, where it seems very much across the board with Gunn's movies so far, is like the Superman movie it's like Superman is already established and like superheroes are already a thing. So I can see a world where it is very much like a Damian joining a team and that team kind of dissolving, and then Damian picking up the pieces and becoming that pseudo leader by the end of it. Because I do ultimately think that like Robin has to headline this team. He has to be the one to kind of carry the flag. If that is the case, if Damian is the one, that casting is going to be massive, because it will not just be, hey, you're going to be Batman's quote unquote sidekick in the Batman movie. Like, you are also going to be the Iron Man of your own Avengers, which is a big ask for a young actor.
No pressure.
Yeah, right. No pressure. Still trying to fill those shoes over at Marvel. Anyway, mine is same, but different. So my number one is Robin, but I do have Dick Grayson. So I think what they could do with this, depending upon when it releases. So I'm not going the prequel route, where I already have seen those theories online. I do love the idea where we did have like the establishment where the Teen Titans have been a thing, and maybe that lends more to Damian being the lead Robin on this new version of the Teen Titans. But I personally see it as, we have Damian in the universe, but we also have Dick. And at this point, he's leading the Teen Titans, and he doesn't have to be that old. He could be 17, 18, 19, maybe early 20s. But I would like to see where, I mean, I wrote down Robin, but maybe he's Nightwing at this point. I don't know. But I do think they will. I think the reason I'm saying this is because we have Brave and the Bold for Damian Wayne. And yes, that could then lead into this. But I could see them using that movie to introduce us to other Robins, and specifically Dick Grayson. And then that kind of spins off from there. We get to see kind of what he's up to, who he's leading. But overall, we all think Robin's going to be in it. One of the Robins will certainly be in the Teen Titans. I would be blown away if that wasn't the case. Klein, I'll jump back to you before we get to Russ for who's your number two pick.
My number two pick is ultimately Raven. I think, a lot of people's favorite character coming out of that Teen Titans show. I think that she has been in and out of the Teen Titans, like in the comics, but yeah, for a lot of people, for the general masses, like, Raven is Teen Titans.
Yes.
And that is where they know her from. And I think there's plenty of names that you could attach to this character and have it be big, and have this kind of be the big name on the poster, that's so-and-so as Raven. And I think she's going to be there. You need that leavening agent of Raven's just like very kind of dour,
right?
Very downtoned to everyone else's upbeat. And I love Raven, so I'm hoping she's there, and that's why she's my number two.
Yeah, I had her at number four. Russ, did you have her on your list?
Number four. I had her at three.
Okay, yeah. So it's spread out, but we all have Raven at the end of the day. And I agree, like, and her powers are really cool. I think that could be something, like, with a proper budget, that would be really interesting to see. That was something, I know Raven was a big part, I believe, of the Titans show, where it's like, you know, less of a budget. How do you really show those powers? But a key part of the dynamic. Anything else on Raven, Russ, while you had her at number three?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think an important part of her presence on the team is also she's got some really interesting lore, especially personal like lore. And I think that's a really good entry point to get, you know, a plot and a threat that audiences can pretty quickly care about.
Right.
And it's also stuff that really hasn't been explored too much in, at least, you know, mainstream media. Like, it's got some in like the live action Titan show, but as we've said, not a lot of people have watched it. So I think it's still pretty much an open book for whatever Gunn wants to do.
Yeah, it's funny right now, by the way. It's like Jenna Ortega for Raven. That's, and it's like,
that's the name.
Yes, but like we mentioned,
a little old at this point.
Exactly.
Going with the younger.
Exactly. And you know, in ours, we are going with younger. Because in my vision, by the way, it's like Robin, my Dick Grayson, would be like the oldest of the bunch. And then everyone else would be like younger. And he'd be like the clear leader that has the experience. And yeah, I think this movie's not going to release until
2029. Who knows?
Yeah, like 2027, 2028, 2029.
She's 21 now or something. Like, she's really
young. I guess there's no way to know this, but since it's only just now been announced, does that mean we should expect this after every other DC project that's already been announced?
I don't think so.
Everything's in the blender at this point. Like, we have think about a year ago, we get all that list. We get the Swamp Thing, we get Brave and the Bold, we get everything. Who knows? Like Swamp Thing's the one thing specifically where I think that is so far away that everything else we hear about between now and then is going to come out before that.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to, everything's going to get swapped around. The only sure thing is that we're getting Superman next year.
I was just going to say, I find it wild that we have a Teen Titan movie announced before we have a proper Justice League project in this new universe.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
I think they're waiting on that just because, you know, get the bad taste of the Justice League and that whole situation out of their mouths. But it is interesting with the DCU like timeline. The only things we really know, Superman, that is 100%. Well, Creature Commandos, Superman, Supergirl seems to be in development soon. And then Peacemaker season 2, Waller. Beyond, I mean, those seem to be what are going to be the first projects possibly. And then maybe Lanterns, then maybe The Brave and the Bold. I think there's a chance this comes out before The Brave and the Bold. We'll see. I mean, there's not a writer for The Brave and the Bold right now. They don't have a script. And this now has a writer. So it'll be interesting. Russ, who is your number two before Raven?
My number two is someone I'm pretty sure everyone else has as well. And it's Beast Boy.
Yes.
I think, as you know, as we've said with some like Raven, I think Beast Boy is just another staple. Like, doesn't really, like, in some way, shape, or, you know, form, he's got to be in it. Whether that is an older member who's like, you know, that legacy team, or he's going to be younger in this new version of the team, he's got to be there. He's also got this unique power set that everyone wants to see, and with the proper budget and proper usage. So
yeah, I had Beast Boy at number three personally. Key member, at least in my opinion. And like, once again, the dynamic, so funny. Like, you absolutely need that. And he, oddly enough, as that like supporting character, and I don't have anyone on the top of my head, I could see so many like actors filling this role. Like, you can find a kid to do Beast Boy, like just a charismatic, funny kid. You know, he's pretty like slight in build. There's so many like kid actors that have grown up at this point that we've seen do a role like this. And I can totally see it working in theaters. And by the way, one point I didn't mention before I get to you, Colin, on Beast Boy, James Gunn has been very specific with this universe, how he wants these projects to have different genres, like truly different like genres, like Swamp Thing's going to be horror, possibly R-rated, and like make the universe feel from project to project feel different. And I do think there's a chance like we're getting a, you know, towing the line between PG and PG-13 Teen Titans movie, where it is, you know, more so for kids, which I'm not against. If you capture some of that magic, that banter, that magic, you know, I'm all for it. Any more thoughts on Beast Boy, Klein?
It was my number three. Name that I've seen getting thrown around for a character like this is, I don't know if anyone here has watched the live action Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix, but Gordon Cormier, who plays Aang in that, who is just a little fireball. I haven't watched the show, but I saw him on stage a few weeks ago at a convention, and like he is the upper to Raven's downer, and he'd be perfect. Like, we need that energy on screen. So I'm really excited to see what they do with Beast Boy, because he's going to be in this movie. And seeing that power set on screen is going to be so cool. Something we haven't really seen before in a big budget comic book movie.
Yeah, no, we haven't. Going into my number two, so I have Robin at one, Beast Boy at three, Raven at four. Another key member, possibly my favorite, Cyborg, at number two, which I think is very interesting, where it's like, we've had this whole Cyborg situation with the DC extended universe, and it's like, are we really going to get a recast of Cyborg and bring him in? I think you have to. I mean, I need Booyah in the Teen Titans movie. There's just no two ways about it. So, and I need him to be like him and Robin. I said, like, they're like best friends with Beast Boy. I love the dynamic, and I just really, really want it. And I want to just like it sounds silly, more of a James Gunn version, less of a Zack Snyder version of Cyborg. So that's why I put him at number two. I think he's imperative, and I think enough time has gone, you know, where we will get a rebooted and recast Cyborg. Did you guys have him on the list, or was anything holding you back?
No, because personally, I could not be, like, I'm just not excited at all for any further iteration of Cyborg. I know it will happen, so it's not, I'm not saying it should never happen.
Right.
Just personally, there's no excitement from me. Now, like, I have liked Cyborg in the past. Like, for example, I really like him in Doom Patrol. And I think that's also a great example of why I don't think Cyborg is a guarantee for this movie, is because he isn't necessarily like just a Teen Titans player, right? He's been in Justice League. He now has a place, you know, the Doom Patrol team. And so he's got a lot of places that he could end up showing up. So I don't know if the creative team is going to feel any pressure to choose him over both the characters that need to be in the team and the characters that they want to explore who haven't gotten the spot.
Right. Klein?
I didn't have him on my list at all. I think simply because I don't know if they will. There are a few characters from the DCEU and all of that, say what you will about the universe, that I think they're going to want to stay away from for at least a little bit. And so I think that Cyborg is one of those, just because the Ray Fisher whole scenario.
Debacle.
And I think there are other characters that could fill that role in on the team. And so that's why I didn't have him on my list.
Yeah. You know, and I hear you. It just, after my top four, I veer away, but my top four are members of that, you know, show that I watched growing up. And it's like, I really want a slight recreation for that. And I feel like Cyborg in this situation and a whole different actor, a whole different take on the character could just work so well. And it really is a shame, the situation. Okay. So I have my 1 through 4.
I don't.
I was going to say, what's the highest that someone's got? Still remaining.
I have a 4 as well.
Okay. Russ, I'm going to start with you.
Same 4. It's another OG member of the team. I think Starfire needs to be in it. I think a lot of fans weren't quite satisfied with what Titans did. And so I think there's plenty of room for a more classic iteration of the character.
Right.
And obviously, she's a classic character, part of the team. People know her from Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Really only from that team and her relation to that team. So I think it's an easy pick.
Yeah. Did you have her, Klein?
Yeah, she was my 5. I think that this is, if you're going to do a Teen Titans movie right, you need 3 people, in my opinion, that are guaranteed. You need a version of Robin, but I'm not counting that. You need a Raven, you need a Beast Boy, and you need a Starfire. Those are 3 of, like, they are very specifically Teen Titans players, and that is where they shine. That is what they are known for being. And so if you're going to include them in something, you're not going to make a Starfire movie, I don't think, right now.
No.
Put them into this team, and then maybe you can have the Guardians of the Galaxy effect with them, and eventually we get the Legends of the Great Starfire movie at some point.
Starfire will return.
Exactly.
That would be wild if we live in a timeline where that movie exists.
I highly doubt it. but maybe. And part of that is because I actually didn't have Starfire. And I guess I disagree. You know, that's like the main point of disagreement. Like, I think Cyborg is more important, even though I do agree where Starfire is inherently just a Teen Titan, where Cyborg, you know, obviously is like, has done much more. It can more stand on his own. I didn't love Starfire. Yeah, totally different. I just don't really love Starfire. Like, she was the one, like, it's totally silly, but it's like the whole fish out of water thing, where I don't.
But like, I think if you did that in a movie, she could be the audience.
Right.
She could be the, like, our conduit to this team, to this world.
Maybe. I think that would be fun. I mean, I like the way you're pitching that. I think I remember watching the show and kind of being sick at eventually of the whole Starfire, like, fish out of water thing, where it's like she doesn't understand stuff. She it's funny sometimes. But totally one of the most childish parts of the show. So I left her off. Klein, you have your 4 still?
My 4, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And this is behind Robin, I think, the most guaranteed character that is going to be on this team, just from the movie perspective.
Yeah.
That is our boy Zolo. I think Blue Beetle has to be in this movie. I think that makes the most sense for when we're talking about this whole Blue Beetle isn't a DCU movie, but he's a DCU character. I'm like, what does that mean? This is what it means. He's going to be a part of the Teen Titans. Maybe we don't get another Blue Beetle movie, but we get him here. We see the family. We see him back in the suit. I think that he could feel that Cyborg vibe, being kind of like a quote unquote second in command,
right,
for this team. I loved Zolo's work as Blue Beetle. I really just recently caught up on the DC movies that I'd missed, and Blue Beetle was a bright spot towards the end of the DCU, which didn't have a lot. And I think that Gunn loves this character and loves this portrayal of the character. Blue Beetle's an iconic Teen Titans comic character. He's been a part of the team for a long time in and out. So
yeah,
I think he could, like, he would make sense in this movie. And it just logically, from this whole DCU character versus DCU movie thing, it works.
Yeah, I had Blue Beetle at 6 personally. I agree. This seems like a very natural fit for him. Bringing him back, I think this is where it brings up, like, he's only getting older, you know, how old is he supposed to be in the movie? Like 17, 18?
He's in college age, isn't he?
So yeah, he's young, you know, early 20s, right? So even older.
He's already way older than.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of, you know, makes you question a little bit. But I also see where it's like, if it's not this, and it's not Booster Gold, where does he show up? Russ,
well, Booster Blue Gold. Beetle? Essentially, that's your answer right there. Booster Gold seems like a pretty good spot. So I admittedly did originally have Blue Beetle. And then I guess when I properly wrote down my list, I just completely forgot about him. Huh. But having just talked about it, I do think that he is probably a little too old for Teen Titans. I think maybe, I'd say, I guess he can't even really be in the Legacy team, because then we probably should have seen that. So I do think probably something like Booster Gold is probably a better place to put him.
I think you could play around with the timelines, though. You know, by the time we get this movie, there is a chance, and we have no idea. There is a chance, like, some of them are older, some of them are younger. Maybe there's like two teams. I don't know. I mean, I'm just spitballing here. We really have no idea. This is just the beginning. But because in my list, I'm thinking like Dick Grayson, him being older. Because I'm thinking of like him, maybe Cyborg, Blue Beetle being older.
Like, if Robin and Blue Beetle were, if you want that like leadership role, if they were the same age, I think that would work.
Right. Beast Boy is like 12.
Yeah.
I have 1 through 6 besides 5 left on mine. And then
I have a 5 and a 6, two characters that,
ooh,
I guess I feel like I definitely wanted to include, because I feel like they're more unique picks that, you know, Gunn likes to choose ones that just haven't really had a spotlight.
I mean, the Engineer is starring in the Superman movie. So.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, Gunn isn't necessarily writing, but obviously he has
influence. And he has,
like, hey, you should probably try to introduce these people.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if you want me to...
No, yeah, give me your 5, because I only have 1 left, so I'm curious.
So, I think Kid Flash.
Yeah,
that was my number 6.
And I think there might be like some hesitation with, you know, with the Flash situation, but obviously Kid Flash is not Barry Allen.
You know, Wally West
character. Yeah. So you have distance, you know, you got plenty of room. And there's different, you could do like Wally West as like a younger Flash. You could also do like Bart.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of different ways that you could do it. But basically, I imagine they did
Bart. That'd be so wild. Who would be Barry Allen then?
But I think
Glenn Powell.
Billy Crudup.
The key inclusion, or the key reason for his inclusion, is because, you know, he's got a unique power set. Yeah. You add so much to the team. I think when you build the team, when you can, obviously you have something like Thunderbolts that has a lot of redundancy in his ranks. But if you're building a team from like scratch, you want some diversity in its power set and what each character can do. Kid Flash has that, you know. And it also can have plot implications too. So there's a lot of space to play with.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had Wally West at 5 as well. And it was the exact same thought you had in terms of like the power set, and like adding this character to the team could fit in very well. I think there is a chance, like, looking at my like personal list, I don't think everyone's going to make it, because I only have Raven as the only female down, and that's not going to happen. And I could see like characters like you mentioned earlier, Blue Beetle maybe replace Cyborg, Wally West maybe replace Beast Boy, which I don't want to see. But it'll be interesting to see how many they pick. But I would love to see a Kid Flash in Teen Titans, and that I think would be a really fun way to reintroduce audiences to Flash, where it is, you're having a lot more fun with it. He's a part of a team. It's not his own thing. You know, you cast some charismatic kid that everyone, you know, enjoys, and you get to really show off maybe in a more limited way, like these super speed abilities that I feel like movies rarely, in my opinion, have really gotten right, you know, where like it makes sense, it's grounded in a certain way, and like it actually helps the plot, and it always has been in a team, you know, like, you know, I think Quicksilver in the Avengers was okay, but Quicksilver in X-Men was awesome. And it was only like those pop, those like kind of a quick pop moments. Klein, you had Wally West down as well.
Yeah, those are my six. That's the last one, so my board is clear. But I agree with like everything that's been said. I think that he's a unique character, and it would be a great way for them to keep the powder dry while still including a Flash-esque character into the universe. And then eventually they can have a Barry Allen, they can have a Justice League Flash, they can bring in some, maybe not someone more recognizable, but like Wally West isn't the household name that Barry Allen is. And so I think that it would be a great way to do it. And Gunn loves his comic lore. Like Kid Flash has been a part of the Titans since, I think, like the very beginning. Like, yeah. I think founding member at some point. So like, he's been around the team for a long time. So most people who like know the animated series and stuff like that, they may not associate Wally West with Teen Titans, but he is very much like tied up in this team. So I think that, yeah, he makes a lot of sense to include in this.
Ross, I'm excited. Who's your mystery last character here?
So my sixth member is someone I admittedly don't know too much about personally. But I think just looking at all these characters, I think it's just a perfect choice for someone who like Gunn would be like, oh yeah, this hasn't had too much focus. Not that they haven't appeared in live action media, but I think Miss Martian.
Oh, interesting.
Would be, an interesting pick, right? You have an interesting power set. You have an interesting ethical dilemma with her backstory, you know, being a white Martian.
Yeah.
And I also, I had this random idea when you guys were talking about the Supergirl movie and how there's the same writer. And admittedly, again, I don't know too much about her comics lore. But there's this idea that I was thinking about how in the Supergirl movie, you know, if it's based on Woman of Tomorrow, you know, a lot of that is her going around basically the galaxy. You know, right. What if she comes across Miss Martian at some point in that journey and she brings Miss Martian back to Earth? That's kind of her introduction to the world, and that's how she kind of gets into this team. And so that would be another entry point. You could have, you know, Damian from Batman, maybe someone like Miss Martian from Supergirl.
Right. I mean, I saw people saying, why not just Supergirl? She's been Teen Titans before.
That's what I thought with the writer. I was like, is this a way for them? But looking at it, like Supergirl has been a part of the team, but it was like very, very short. Like, I think it's something like 8 to 12 issues or something like that.
Yeah.
Women of Tomorrow is also it's a fairly more adult storyline with the, you know, a more mature Supergirl.
The bleeped out words and all.
Yeah. So I don't know if that version of Supergirl, even just outside of age, I don't
would
know
even
if
want
to
play
that
as a part of a team.
Yeah,
I do like, so that I think, you know, that idea of Miss Martian, I think you're on the right track in terms of like, because there has to be some kind of, I would think, character universe building to get these characters together. Like we see it with Damian Wayne. That's the only really, that's the only like vision that we kind of have any idea for. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do, how they do it. I know one thing that's like for sure is that James Gunn wants to make it clear from Superman on, this is an established universe. So he doesn't want to tell too many origin stories, it seems like, which I think is a great idea because origin stories are for the early 2000s, you know, pretty much, right? Like early 2000s, 2010s with the MCU, we can kind of move past origin stories. Everyone's kind of over them at this point, and no one wants an origin Teen Titans movie. Everyone wants them to be ready to roll, you know, getting into action, getting into the situations. Did anyone have any honorable mentions? Mine was kind of Supergirl just because, but I like Russ's like more creative idea, but trying to bring Superboy is an option. I don't love
just
that option though.
How many Kryptonians do you want?
Yeah, I think
that's
too much
universe.
Focus. Too
yeah.
Much focus on Kryptonians.
I'm with you. I just don't like the idea of, you don't want the Teen Titans to be too overpowered, right? Because I even see, when I was even writing down Wally West, like Kid Flash, it's almost like someone who can't really like hit the brakes or like doesn't know how to really put it in gear. Like there's, you know, they're working through it. Where because speedsters can get very overpowered very quickly. So, you know, I like to keep that in mind with like building the team, who their adversary is going to be, stuff like that. Any other honorable mentions?
Yeah, another character who, again, I don't really know much about, but I think just, you have a diversity angle and you have a power set angle. And then you also have, you know, an unknown. So this character isn't in much, but Terra, kind of a lesser known, but it's an easy pick if you're going, all right, what character just doesn't get enough spotlight that, you know, I want to throw in with these more established people? And
yeah.
You get a lot of things that you can work with there. So I think that's another easy pick for them.
Do you have any, Glenn?
The only other name that I could think of was Aqualad for the same reason as Aqualad, Kid Flash. Yeah. It's a touchstone, but then you don't, they're not, you're not doing the Aquaman thing. So that, like, that was the only thing name, I could think though. Of. I know.
He's at a disadvantage from the start.
Yeah. Exactly. I saw a lot of people start to discuss like who could be the villain. And I like just the idea that Deathstroke is the Brave and the Bold villain and maybe has a presence in Teen Titans like he has before. I think just getting a proper Deathstroke in live action, like a live action movie, would be pretty awesome. I don't really have too many honorable mentions. I know James Gunn loves to think outside of the box, but I do think there are some that just need to be on the team. Like, you have to get some of those classics because you're making a Teen Titans movie because of the fans. Like, this is not something that's been really given its roses yet, but there is this like really big fan base for Teen Titans. I mentioned earlier to Matt, like, this is way bigger than Young Avengers, in my opinion. Oh, yeah. Like, Teen Titans is like, they stand on their own, and it's awesome.
I would say on the surface level, but the Avengers term
right. Is
bigger. And it doesn't matter what's attached to the Avengers term. If you say Avengers, it's automatically going to get a lot of people.
Yeah. So
like the Young Avengers as a team, no. But because they have Avengers attached to them.
Open the same day. Let's see who wins.
Oh, let's do it. That would be awesome. They should do that.
I think the MCU would probably win. I would make that bet.
I'd vote Teen Titans, I think, depending upon the group. I think there is a quick way to piss people off if they get a little too cute with the Titans and the direction. I do think, I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think fans in general want a younger crew. I don't think fans want like Titans, you know, and I think because they just did that Max show, it's more of a reason why they're not going to. I think they are going to go younger because of that. Okay, so Matt, shout out Matt, not here right now, but put together this list. It's pretty obvious since we went through it, but I'll just go through it really quick. Basically, kind of with a point system, calculated who our top Teen Titans would be. Number one, obviously Robin of some kind. I put Dick Grayson. Russ and Klein both put Damian Wayne, but Robin is 100 out of 100 times you're making a Teen Titans movie, you're putting Robin in it. I'd be stunned if they didn't. Raven would be number two, you know, cumulatively. So Raven number two, Beast Boy number three, Kid Flash number four, which I don't think a lot of people are even talking about Kid Flash in this new movie, but I think totally a possibility. Love the idea Klein mentioned about how like kind of backdoor piloting these characters back into the DC universe. Starfire number five, which I didn't have listed, but you know, could easily be there. Key member of Teen Titans. And Cyborg number six just sneaks in. Kind of surprising because I had him up at number two. I had him ranked very highly. Klein and Russ didn't have him ranked. Blue Beetle 7, Ms. Martian number 8. So with that being said, any other thoughts on the Teen Titans? What you guys want to see from it?
I would just say, what we're talking about villains. I think it'd be smart to dive into Raven's, you know, family history.
Right.
I think that's a great starting point for, especially you have a team, right? You need a bigger, I know Deathstroke has plenty of time with a team and is a formidable villain, but
yeah,
I feel like you kind of want something that feels bigger, especially if we're going to do a theatrical setting. You know, coming out of the gate, something like Raven's family history is that big.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I just hope that this, I mean, I think they are, and maybe it's a connection to the, you know, to Supergirl, same writer. I hope they set this movie up in a way in the DC universe. And I imagine Brave and the Bold. Yeah, like that seems very... hard reboot, not hard rebooting, but just like hard launching a Teen Titans movie in theaters feels like a mistake. You got to kind of build it up a little bit. And that doesn't mean we have to see a new Aquaman and a new Flash and all these things, but just get us some of the basics. And I think they're going to do that. Like James Gunn's already kind of proving that we're getting the engineer in Superman. We're getting in the Authority movie. So that's going to clearly be setting that up in some form or fashion. But anyway, I'm very excited. Will it release before 2030? That's now the question. So there's not really any fan casting to make.
It released the same year as Avengers vs. X-Men.
You think so?
It's been a long time. In a long time. That's the
2035.
The lead actors haven't even been born yet.
Hey, it might be possible. I've been thinking that with the new Harry Potter series coming out. It's like, depending upon when they get those scripts written, these kids could be 3 years old right now. They're going to be casting as the main kids. Russ Klein, thank you so much for joining me. Start with Russ. What do you got going on? The Direct. We've been promoting the Direct Extras YouTube page. Any interviews coming up or any interviews you want to talk about that are already up on YouTube?
Interview with Invincible showrunner Simon Rasiapa is going to be up here soon.
That's awesome.
And then got some stuff about the finale that'll go up in a few weeks as well. Then I'm going to WonderCon in a week and a half.
Oh, cool.
And then CinemaCon about a week and a half after that. So
nice. Awesome. Where are those?
So WonderCon is in Anaheim.
Okay.
Basically LA. CinemaCon is in Las Vegas.
Gotcha. Oh, that's fun. Klein, what do you got going on?
I'm in the middle of putting together a list of just how tall Godzilla is in every iteration he has ever appeared in. So look for that over on thedirect.com.
That's
big
awesome.
Lizard has been big and he has been very big, but we'll get into that. Yeah. Over on the Direct in the coming days.
That's awesome. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. If you're excited for Teen Titans, please let us know. Leave us a 5-star review, comment, DM, all those great things. I'm David Thompson on behalf of Matt, Klein, and Russ. We'll see you next time.